Sociologists study aging. Demographics is the study of the age groups from birth, life expectancy, but also aging and the aging process. So today we're going to talk about aging. Now, the first thing to know about aging is that aging has a lot of stigma in our society, but clearly the Bible has a view about aging. And this may not be the popular view in the West right now, but here's the biblical view. Proverbs 16, verse 31, gray hair is the crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Exodus 20, verse 16, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. In many cultures, the aged are discarded. There's a lot of debate. In fact, many aged contemplate assisted suicide. Many aged feel less valued. Now, in certain cultures, like Asian culture, the aged are still highly regarded. But more and more in Western cultures, the aged are more and more considered irrelevant. But not so in the kingdom of God. The sociology of the kingdom see the aged as having a high value and very important for all of our lives. Let's talk about aging. Aging, often alternatively spelled aging, is both a biological and sociological process wherein human beings experience and accomplish stages of biological and social maturation. Aging may be seen as a relatively objective biological process whereby one becomes older and experiences varied biological developments. In other words, you feel older. Aging may also be seen as a subjective series of social processes whereby people interpret, negotiate, and make sense out of biological developments in relation to existing conceptualizations of what it means to be a certain age. In other words, there's a biological side of aging, but there's also a psychological or a contextual side of aging. So aging is both biological and sociological. An example of the biosocial and subjective nature of aging may be useful. Take, example, a social being born in the United States in 1980. This person will likely experience a biological development characterized by the addition of years from birth and by biological understanding of the time. That is, being born in 1980 would have a life expectancy, medical and legal definition, and contextual series of economic, educational, and other possibilities based upon the birth at this time. As such, our person born in the United States through the 1980s can be expected to follow relatively stable patterns of biological development that will be interpreted in similar ways to others born in that same time. You know, one of the things that people talked about, I remember when I was young, I'm 56 at the time of doing this video, but I remember when I was young, we were the baby boomers. And I was the last born of my family. My brother is 14 years older than me. So the baby boomers were sort of like post-World War II generation. And it's fascinating that the earlier baby boomers, they had the whole Vietnam era, but they had certain expectations. Then I was a later baby boomer. But in my era, there were certain songs, there were certain attitudes that now as the baby boomers get older, we can be around other baby boomers and there's like the time of our life we can talk about things like in America that are froze at our age that seem to make sense in a different way. But the same is true for people who live in different eras, that they sense that, you know, where you're born. So those born in 1980 have a different experience as those born in 1960. Well, the aging process is something that's very important. Aging is a complex process of subjective, biological, and social realities intertwined with relatively objective biological and social standards that shift with, in, and between historical and cultural developments. So it's just not the biological aging. It's all the factors, the social factors, the era factors, the what was on television factors, how you experienced high school factors. It's a whole process. I guess it'd be important to talk about lifespan example, for instance. So what is exactly lifespan? Well, lifespan, human life is often divided into various lifespans like the following: infancy, toddler, childhood, adolescence, young adults, prime adulthood, middle age, and old age. Now, if we look at aging, there's a biological factor to this, but there's also sort of a time in life factor to this. Now, this is also important as a Christian in doing ministry, planting churches. All of these items become important for the consideration of how to impact your neighbors. But when sociologists talk about lifespan, they talk about these basic categories of age, when whether you're an infant, toddler, childhood, adolescent, young adult, prime adult, middle age, or old age, each of them have different expectations and different understandings. Now, sociologists basically talk about the socially constructed interpretations of age. Well, aging itself is also a biosocial process. The ways people and culture interpret aging, that is old, young, midlife, and the ways these interpretations are distinguished by varied biological markers are varied dramatically. In Western societies where youth is highly valued, people are considered old as much at much younger ages than in Eastern societies where age is often seen to beget wisdom. This emphasis on youth translates into considerable expenditure on makeup, cosmetics, surgeries to hide signs of aging, particularly among women, but also among men. Ironically, among adolescents, just the opposite approach is taken, as adolescents often try to appear older, though obviously not too much older. You know, the fact is that we live in different cultures, and different cultures have labels of young and old. The label of old and young also vary by life expectancy. In societies where lifespans are relatively short, that is CHAD, or in areas within a given society where violence or other means of early death are common, one could be considered old or middle-aged by her mid-20s, whereas countries and social settings where longer lifespan, that is Japan, and lower levels of early death, mid-20s are still considered young adulthood. So again, we see an aging entirely different aspect depending on where you live. The activities that are expected of one at different ages is also socially constructed relative to culture. For instance, retirement became a universal American idea in the post-World War I era as the growth of Social Security and private pensions dramatically expanded the safety net available to aging workers who were leaving the marketplace. Likewise, the idea of childhood being an age of innocence, when children should be cut from their adult worries and spend their time pursuing education and recreating, is openly widely held in highly developed countries, and is relatively a recent invention following the Industrial Revolution and the introduction of child labor laws. So again, we see in different places different expectations of what age means. Ageism is a term, and it means this. It's the prejudice on the ground of age. While it can be targeted toward individuals of any age, two groups are often targeted, the young and the elderly. Again, this is an important consideration as people are understanding the sociological implications of age. Young people, for instance, each society sees this differently, from voting rights to legal age to work. I remember when I was a 14-year-old, you could work, and I worked at the A&W restaurant, which was a food restaurant. But today, in at least in the state that I'm living in now, you need to be 16 ordinarily to get a job at a food restaurant that I was part of when I was 14. So in other places in the world, someone is 8 and 9 years old, they're already expected to work. The elderly also experience some discrimination. While discrimination toward the young is primarily behavioral restrictions, discrimination toward elderly range from behavioral restrictions to the realm of physical abuse. Elder abuse is a serious problem in the U.S. In some places in the world, you'd hear this, you go like, really? There are nearly 2 million cases of elder abuse and self-neglect in the U.S. every year. Abuse refers to the psychological, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, caregiver neglect, and financial exploitation, while self-neglect refers to behaviors that threaten the person's own health and safety. So you can see age is a big factor when it comes to people's lives. And as Christians, you know, we want to hold up that those who age are prized. They are at that pinnacle of life. They are places which are just so wonderful. Social programs for the elderly. Prior to the introduction of Social Security in the U.S. and other programs for the needy, the elderly were the poorest age group in the U.S. Now, we have to be careful to realize something. They may have been poor, but back in those days, at least they were with families. So now that they have more money because of the social programs, they're often more independent. That makes them often less happy. But it is true, Social Security is an income redistribution program that takes taxes from those working and distributes it to those who cannot work or who are elderly enough to be considered past the age at which they can retire. With the introduction of Social Security, the poverty rate of elderly in the U.S. has dropped dramatically. But again, I want to reiterate, just because it's dropped dramatically doesn't mean that elderly are more happy. And again, I think that's something as Christians, whether in America or all over the world, to understand that money does not make someone happiness. The Lord does. So you can have more thriving economic levels of the elderly or of any age, but unless someone has the Lord, they're not going to find joy. But the study of aging, I think, is very helpful. And it's very helpful for you and whatever you do to understand how aging is considered different in different cultures. Now, one thing as a minister or a Christian leader or someone who wants to make an impact in society, I believe that some of you are called to be chaplains in nursing homes, to volunteer at nursing homes if you're not a chaplain, to be able to go to those who are aging and give ministry. This is an important need right now in most places in the world, that those who are elderly, those who are in hospice, those who need the Lord. I actually believe that the baby boom generation, the older ones now, who are now starting to age, and many of them in time will need to go to nursing homes, that there is a great opportunity for revival, that people who are called to ministry, to volunteer every week to go there and to share the joy of the Lord. I think this is a great time to minister to those who are aged, and maybe you are called to participate in that. But knowledge of the process of aging, both the objective and the subjective aspects, are vitally important as we seek to proclaim God's grace to our own community and to the nations.